You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday, Mike McNamara for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning so far. You know, I didn't finish this. I didn't even tell a story yesterday that was a big deal over the weekend to me. I get obsessed with certain things, okay? And then I have to remedy those things. Like anybody, I think, who likes to do home improvement stuff. So, I've been obsessed by the lack of water pressure, in the backyard sprinkler system. So, now I've been obsessed by this for a while. Right. So how do you increase the water pressure in your backyard? The answer is you can't. So you got to troubleshoot it. Either somebody put too many sprinklers on a line and the water pressure just isn't enough to power it. Or maybe there's a gauge somewhere that you can open that will fix it. So step one. And I've done this step before. So I did that. And it didn't solve itself. So now I have to find some other solution for this. And I'm all about it, right? I'm all about finding another solution. I got no problem with finding another solution to this thing. So I begin to implement the solution. And so now what do I have to do? So, okay, if you can imagine, the lawn is kind of a L shape, okay? So I want you to put the L, it's the capital L, right? And I want you to take it and I want you to rotate it right, okay? So tip it over. Okay, so long axis, short axis. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to take the long axis and make it, It's not significantly wide, but it's medium wide. Okay? All right, and then I want you to take the short axis and make it about twice the size of, as the long axis, okay? So the short axis is wider, and the long axis is longer, about half as wide. Okay, so, and then there's two lines of sprinklers in the backyard. And you have to know this because it's instrumental in understanding the solution. So, there's one line that comes along the base of the long axis of the L. Got that? Okay. Then it goes down the short axis of the L, and then it cuts over across the base of the short axis of the L. Follow me. Stay with me. And then it cuts into the middle of the lawn. Okay. So, and that's the one that has the problems. Okay. What the problem is part of the lawn doesn't get watered and therefore struggles for survival in the fat section of the L. Okay. So that's the one underpowered section. There's a second line that waters the gardens in the backyard, right? Which I've capped because I don't have any like ice plant or any, I don't have anything growing in the flower beds other than weeds, and I pull those. So I cap all those so I'm not watering weeds. So that goes around the top axis, right, of the long edge of the L. And it comes down the left axis, right, the far left axis of the short side of the L. Okay? And then it ends there. So, you got these two systems. So, my thought is, confirm that the path of the water to the center of the lawn on the short side, it comes from the bottom of the L. Okay, so make sure that's confirm that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to cut there and we're going to cap there. And then we're going to run the garden line that isn't being used by anything and has ample pressure into along the base into the center of the lawn. And we'll connect it there and boom, you're going to increase the water pressure to the underside of the L, and then you're going to service the center of the lawn, and they'll be on their own line. All right. So that's my problem. So that's my solution. So first thing, okay, dig where you think the pipe ought to be that goes from system one into the center of the lawn. So it should be along the base of the L, and it should be in about the center of the lawn, and it should be going into the lawn. If my assumption's correct, that's how they routed the water. So I dig a hole. Oh, there's a pipe, piece of PVC pipe. Do a little excavating. Bigger than shit. There's the pipe headed into the middle of the lawn. So I'm fired up. I'm like, yes, that confirms my assumption about the engineering path of the water. All right. So then I go through the process of digging a new trench that will link the garden line and a new piece of PVC pipe to the old line into the center of the lawn. Okay, go through a box of PVC parts, find every part that I needed. And actually, this is how committed I was to it. It didn't, when I drew it out, the solution on a piece of paper, which I do stuff like this, okay, and I looked at what I would have to do, and I drew all the fixtures in. I didn't have the fixtures that I needed, but I had other fixtures that, if appropriately adapted, I could do it. So I reworked my solution, had every piece I needed except about a 9-foot piece of 1/2-inch PVC pipe. So I go to Home Depot, and I get that. I come back. Everything's put together. I put the pipe in. Says it's quick-drying cement. I should let it dry for about a 30 minutes, though. Blah, 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 blah. So I go about my day. Keep doing it. But you know I want to fire that thing up, right? But I don't. I found there's a baseball game on. There's something else going on. And about a 30 minutes goes by. I said, that's enough time. Let's try this thing. So I turn on the old system, okay? And I'm like, so what I should see is I'll turn this thing on, and I should see the sprinklers on this old line with more powerful, right, spray coming out because it's less 3 sprinkler heads. So turn the dial, right, hit the button to do it manually, and what happens? Every single sprinkler head goes off, to include the ones that aren't supposed to go off anymore. Exactly. Total failure. A day of my life, total failure. So the question is, I confirm the flow of the water, though, because there's a pipe that goes to the center of the lawn. But that evidently isn't the pipe they used for the water because those sprinklers are still pumping water out like it's cool. Not happy about it, I'm not going to lie to you. Not happy about it at all. I don't know how the water gets to the center of the lawn. A whole day spent on that endeavor. Wasted. So I forgot to share that with you yesterday. I figured I'd share a little of the pain of my life with you this morning. So, and then one other thing I forgot yesterday. You know, one of the guys who I learned to enjoy, who passed away recently, is Charles Krauthammer. Right, he a conservative writer for the Washington Post, and. He said this, that you hear on a regular basis.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
So he was the other guy that I thought about Sunday, when I thought, you know, where do you go to after, like, total crazy week, and you're looking for, you know, intellectual discourse, people that make sense, and Krauthammer was the other guy that always articulate, always thoughtful. And so I was missing Charles Krauthammer yesterday, or on Sunday. So, yeah. I watched the Brett Kavanaugh's swearing in at the White House last night. And I don't know, you know, all the controversy that surrounded that and then watching it last night, either one of two things. Either we've become an extremely, extremely sick country. I would say politically toxic in terms of what gets done in the name of politics, or he is somebody that the rest of his life doesn't know. You know, so you look at him standing there with his wife and daughters, and you look at all the different people he's enabled in his life. you look at all that, and then again, I think this whole thing, pretty disturbing. So what would you believe? Would you believe that Brett Kavanaugh? I'm going to kill. Hey! Joe is going to the pound this afternoon. It's a joke. Yeah, so it's disturbing. And so without any evidence, somebody says that, yeah, he did this to me. And based on that, we're going to destroy somebody's career. So, with no evidence in the United States of America, it's disturbing. And if it's all done for political reasons, that's most disturbing. And my sense is that it was all done for political reasons. That somebody weighed all of that and said, yeah, let's do it. That's pretty gross. Even, you know, I don't care what your standard of democracy is, that's pretty gross. So, anyway, I was watching that little spectacle last night, and I watched it, and I was trying to make heads or tails about how far we sunk as a country. If none of that's true, then I don't know. And then where does that go? Where does that take you as a country? And then the other part is, not only where does that take you as a country, but where are the adults that are supposed to be in charge of this kind of stuff, that are supposed to prevent us from going to these places? Who are the adults? Is there anybody that can stand up and do the right thing, that's to say the right thing anymore? And I guess the answer to that is no, there's not. So, I don't know. And all that, kind of sitting there watching him after the president spoke, Brett Kavanaugh got up. And interesting. Interesting, and it made me think of, again, my thoughts about the whole Me Too movement thing. There's going to be a day coming for the nation when when there has to be a reconciliation of Me Too and the scales of justice. And it'll be interesting, you know, the trial of, you know, Harvey Weinstein. And some of the other people that have been accused, you know, when they pull out their defense, and their defense is, I didn't rape anybody. All she had to do, if she didn't want to have sex with me, is say no. You know, I thought she liked me. Yeah, exactly. So how do you square those things? So how do we square the whole Me Too thing? And I don't think the nation has answered enough hard questions about the Me Too thing. And trust me, they'll answer it for Harvey Weinstein. You want to know why? Because he's got the money to make them answer it. He's going to get rich guy justice. He's going to get OJ justice. What does that mean? He's going to have the best attorneys money can buy. And he's not going down without a fight. Not going out with, without a legal fight in this country. So, yeah. Yeah, so all that stuff going through my head last night as I watched Brett Kavanaugh sworn in by Justice Kennedy, former Justice Kennedy, at a ceremony at the White House. So I think troubling times for the country. One is that has the level of leadership descended to such a state that that is how we do politics? And I get my own opinion is yeah, it has. And I said this. I said this after the shooting at the baseball practice. Will that change anything in Washington D.C.? The answer is no. It's gotten worse. And then you have Maxine Waters encouraging people to see, when you see these people in public, get on them. What did she say? Get after them in public. Maxine Waters, I don't know. I don't know that I've seen her being too public lately. Can you imagine the backlash against her? And, you know, I guess it's fine for the intellectuals that hear that stuff and kind of shrug. What about the crazies, though, that hear it? The crazy people among us that hear it. So, again, where are the adults? Where are the adults when you need them? And will they ever show up? Or is it, you know, is it people like Sarah Palin who are now inciting whatever they incite? Right? More of Reverend Al Sharpton. Just the most shrill and loudest. I don't know. And again, hence my lament for Tim Russert. Hence my lament for Charles Krauthammer. You know, voices of intellect, voices of moderation, voices of reason, voices of responsibility. None of that seems to carry the day anymore. What carries the day is, you know, 24/7 news companies who do the Jerry Springer show. That's what carries the day. And that ought to scare everybody. The other thing that is scary, which is when you combine that with the way we consume news now. And the way we consume news now is we go ahead and we look at something for what? 12 seconds? 13 seconds? We used to be readers, right? Kind of interesting. I read a piece a week ago. We used to be readers. This is a couple hundred years ago. And then we started putting pictures in newspapers. Pictures became pretty compelling. Think of the pictures that we've seen in history that have changed so powerful that have changed America. So those pictures, you know, none more famous than the flag raising on Iwo Jima. Everybody knows that picture, and the power of images. So anyway, I mean, and think of the picture of the guy who got shot in the head in Vietnam, right? Stunningly powerful. So anyway, so then we got pictures, and pictures became important. Hell, you had Life magazine that was essentially a picture book, right? Yeah, they had articles, but the articles surrounded the images. Next great change is the advent of the internet. And then after the internet, so essentially you had magazines and newspapers online. Okay. The next great invention after the internet is quote unquote social media. Now it is like cut the time that somebody looks at a story from them back in the day reading to glancing, now to watching a minute or two, maybe a video. And that's how we consume news. What can you consume? If that is the way you consume news, you know, I guess God help us. Then the most shrill manufacturers of content, you know, rule the day. So, anyway, thought I'd share my law and issue with you and my concern over the future of the free world. Anyway, Brett Kavanaugh confirmed he's sitting this morning with his two daughters in attendance, he said. Thanked their teachers for allowing them to attend the first two cases that will be argued in front of him as an associate justice of the Supreme Court. Now, the question is, what kind of theatrics will be involved in his first day on the court that they will be subjected to? Yeah, so stand by for that. All right, what we're going to do on the show today, Grant Newsham's going to join us. We're going to, I put up on the read board, if you haven't seen it, check it out. Interesting article by a guy named Stephen Mosier. Now, Stephen Mosier's been a China scholar, student, since the 1970s. If you go to the read board on the All Marine Radio website, that's right, if you check it out, you'll see interesting read. Trump has China quaking in its boots. If you go and click on that, you'll see a link, and if you click on that, it'll take you to the article. Pretty interesting article about United States and China. So we'll talk to Grant about that. He's written something about Taiwan. How does Taiwan? Taiwan's kind of like the fifth wheel, right? China says there's only one China. Now the world has just said, okay, there's one China. What about Taiwan? There's not two Chinas anymore. There's one China. Okay, you're China. What are they? They're something. Yes or no? Well, no. They belong to us. Because we said it. Again, it's the Chinese being the Chinese. You're not allowed. If you do business with them, you won't do business with us. All right. I got it. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Secretary of State Pompeo's latest visit to North Korea. What are the implications for that? So here's an email. Mac, what about your Yankees getting annihilated last night? It happens. It happens. I would have told you before that game yesterday that the chances of the Yankees winning that game were not good. The guy who pitched for the Red Sox is named Nathan Eovaldi. For whatever reason, the Yankees cannot hit him. That's, I think, the third game he started against them. I think he's yet to give up a run in three games. I mean, he hasn't given up anything. I mean, like zeros. So that, I would have told you, if Eovaldi's pitching, it's not going to go good based on historical meetings. Yeah. So 16-1, 2-1, who cares? Turn the page. We'll do it again tonight at Yankee Stadium in an elimination game, Yankees-Red Sox. So it wasn't even fun because, you know, the fun is the closeness of the games, the craziness of the atmosphere, and it was horrible. Unless you're a Red Sox fan, just crushing the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. So, anyway, they play again tonight. I will tell you this. If you're a betting person, I don't know how you bet against the Houston Astros. To me, they have the best pitching. I didn't know this until over the weekend, but they have the best bullpen in baseball. They have the best relief pitching. So, the Houston Astros. I would say if you are a betting person and you're not betting on them, you're trying to be a genius and make money. So good luck to you. Good luck to you. All right. Breaking news from Yahoo. Nikki Haley has resigned as UN ambassador. What? Wow. Stand by. Let me just check. President Trump has accepted Nikki Haley's resignation as U.N. ambassador, according to two sources briefed on their conversation. The timing of her departure is still unclear. The president promised a big announcement with her at 10:30 a.m. What we're hearing, Haley discussed her resignation with Trump last week when she visited him at the White House. These sources are saying her news shocked a number of foreign policy officials in the Trump administration. And then this is under the heading of worth noting. This is from Axios. Haley wrote a public op-ed in September challenging the New York Times anonymous op-ed. Quote, I don't agree with the president on everything. When there is disagreement, there's a right way and a wrong way to address it. I pick up the phone and call him or meet him in person. Like my colleagues in the cabinet and on the National Security Council, I have very open access to the president. He does not shut out his advisors. He does not demand that everyone agree with him. I can talk to him most any time, and I frequently do. If I disagree with something and I believe it is important enough to raise it with the president, I do it, and he listens. So, Nikki Haley, how? Why? What's going on? Okay, now, the next thing I'll tell you is whenever this happens, when news breaks, the place to go is Twitter. All right, and then in the search box, type in hashtag Nikki Haley. Boom. And then you go, you'll see hashtag Nikki Haley come up, and then you click on latest. And then you scan it. And there's nobody that has any additional information. All right. So breaking news this morning. We'll pay attention to that. That's stunning. She has been, by everybody's account, she has been a stud at the UN. And nothing but a rising star in Republican politics, to the point where people are mentioning Nikki Haley as at some point going to be a candidate for the office of President of the United States. So why is Nikki Haley resigning? The president says a big announcement at noon at 10:30 Eastern Time, which was 4 minutes ago. So... yeah, wow. Shocking. President Trump has accepted. So, Nikki Haley. Stand by. I'm messing with some technology. So we'll wait. I guess when the president decides that they're going to speak, but honestly, quite stunning events at the White House. Anyway, we'll get the program going. We'll pay attention to that. Good morning to you. Yeah, Nikki Haley. Yeah, I'm shocked. One of the things that Trump got right was Mike Pompeo is the right guy. And I think Jim Mattis is the right guy. I think Joe Dunford's the right guy. Nikki Haley, I didn't know, but she obviously has performed incredibly at the United Nations. So she's leaving. Stunning. All right. United States Marine Corps band makes it official as we open the show. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to Nikki Haley. Good luck. Yeah, when was the last time you saw Washington, D.C. keep a secret and something not leak out? Nobody knows what's going on.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off, and don't talk about it, and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Not a peep. Not a peep. Nobody knows why. Pretty amazing. This doesn't get pulled off very often. So, again, Nikki Haley. The president's supposed to speak 12 minutes ago. Has not done that. We'll stand by. See what's going on. Hope everything, you know, like, is okay with her and in her life and whatnot, and that she's decided that she's going to step down so she can run for president in 2020. Yeah, right. One never knows. So, or maybe she's going to be something else in the Trump administration. The president, supposedly in the article that I said, says that he was going to have a big announcement with her at 10:30, with his good friend Nikki Haley at 10:30. What does that mean? Who knows? Everything in Trump land is big. Unbelievable. We're going to have the best health care. Yeah. Doesn't always turn out that way, but he can sell. All right. Time for us to check the weather now. A little bit of intrigue going on this morning. Ohio man, Sarah Palin, what did I miss? No, you know, it's just the incendiary wing, the napalm deliverers for both parties. Sarah Palin? Right? Steve Bannon? And then you have the socialists now that seem to dominate the Democratic Party. And where are the moderates that compose like 80% of those elected? Where are the moderates? There's no platform for them. Because the media is in bed with the fringes. That's what sells. So, yeah, if you're a moderate, you're screwed. All right. We'll check the temperatures today. Currently partly cloudy and 75 in Quantico. Mostly sunny and 82 at Camp Lejeune. Camp Lejeune's got a couple of weather warnings. Got to get the three before we investigate. Granbury, Texas, cooled off. 65 with some rain and some thunder. Montana's got rain and 37. And it looks with the rain, it looks like a little snowflake up there as well. So they've been getting snow in the northern tier, don't you know? Yeah. Yep. Saw that yesterday. 58 degrees in 29 Palms, so a brisk night and sunny skies. Clouds in 60 at Camp Pendleton. Okinawa, dark, cloudy in 75, so it's cooled off. Fall is officially here. It's even fall in Afghanistan. Yeah. How crazy is that? It is 66 degrees under clear skies early in the evening in Afghanistan at the home of All Marine Radio. Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 65 degrees under cloudy skies. So we'll take a break. As I said, waiting for the president to speak. Trump says UN Ambassador Nikki Haley is leaving the administration at the end of the year. reaction from Ohio man. WTF? Exactly. No, anybody who's a conservative who enjoys her work for the nation at the UN looks at that and says, that's not good. Why? All right, we'll take a quick break. More Balmarine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so in me. Of this heartbreak.
We continue to stand by for the President of the United States. Yeah. Big time secret today. So it doesn't happen very often, but happening today. Let's check a few stories. Grant Newsham's supposed to join us at the top of the hour. And then, let's see, what else are we doing? Grant will join us at the top of the hour, and we'll stand by to take the audio from the whatever the president does this morning as we all wait to see why is Nikki Haley leaving. And again, the only blurb that has come, big announcement, my good friend Nikki Haley, which would... If I'm reading tea leaves, it's not going to be something that blows up in everybody's face. So, we'll see. We wait in suspense. Interesting. Here's a text message. I believe they call it the ESPN effect. Quick and now. I don't know. Does democracy work well like that? Quick and now? It has been the march of history from reading to looking at pictures, now to watching video clips for 20 seconds and forming opinions based on that. Nah, I don't know that it bodes well. I don't know that it bodes well for the nation. All right, a few stories before the president comes on, or Grant Newsham, whichever gets here first. First story, killed in World War II, Marine returning home after being buried for 75 years as an unknown. Relatives of a Chicago area Marine killed during World War II are welcoming his body back after 75 years of being buried in Hawaii as an unknown serviceman. Military officials say that DNA tests helped confirm the identity of Marine Corps Technical Sergeant Harry Carlson of Brookfield, who was 31 when he was killed storming the beaches of Tarawa in the Gilbert Islands. A gentleman by the name of Ed Spellman of St. Charles tells the local newspaper that a phone call came from out of the blue in July that his great-uncle's body had been identified. He says his mother donated DNA in 2008 for the identification. She died in 2012. Carlson's relatives plan on meeting the casket Wednesday at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. He'll be buried Saturday at Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery near Joliet. So those stories become, we see them more and more often, and they'll only occur more now that we have additional remains from North Korea. Another Marine commander has been fired. Marine commander in Darwin, Australia, fired for driving under the influence of alcohol. The commander of more than 1,500 U.S. Marines in Northern Australia was relieved of his duties after police caught him driving under the influence of alcohol, the Marine Corps said on Monday. Colonel James Schnell, S-C-H-N-E-L-L-E, pleaded guilty at the Darwin local court on Monday to driving with a blood alcohol concentrate of 0.102. The reading is more than the double legal limit for Australia, which is 0.05. The commander of Marine Rotational Force in Darwin was relieved of his duties on September 30th due to a loss of trust and confidence. Now, Now, again, just tell you what's behind, you know. Well, first of all, if you're convicted of that, it's a no-brainer. But you have two of my friends run the Pacific. Actually, three of my friends. If you start at Camp Pendleton, Jody Osterman and I are friends. He reports to Lou Craparata. He and I are friends, right? He is Marine Forces Pacific. Eric Smith is a friend of mine. He runs 3MEF, which is in Okinawa, Japan. I think a case that most, if you're familiar with Marine Corps news, a colonel was Dan, I can't remember his last name. He got drunk in Australia, did stupid stuff. They sent him home, did not discipline him. He went back to Camp Lejeune, where he sexually assaulted. He's currently in a brig there. He sexually assaulted, I want to say, 2 girls under the age of 6. So talk about being a little bit sensitive to officer conduct. And not that this would in any way, shape, or form could have been looked at and said, you know what, there are mitigating circumstances. When you're in charge and you blow double, come on, man, that's just dumber than shit. So, but again, that in the news this morning. Also, recon shortage. Why these elite Marines are facing a manpower crisis. So, why are our reconnaissance Marines? The Marine reconnaissance community has history dating back to World War II. There's a shortage, though. These elite Marines are on track for a manpower crisis, one that questions the Corps' ability to sustain its reconnaissance force into the future at a time of modern, rapid modernization. Across the force, and there's even questions to, you know, how does this MOS work in an age of electronic sophistication and blah, 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 blah. Manpower and Reserve Affairs identified the 0321 MOS as having the most inverted grade pyramid, specifically in the E3 to E4 ranks, which is having a significant effect on promotion timing, according to the Marine Corps Combat Development Command. That issue is grounded in high attrition rates in the recon community's 12-week basic reconnaissance course. Attrition rates have been as high as 54% in fiscal year 2014, are coupled with attendance rates that appear to be declining, according to data obtained by the Marine Corps Times through a Freedom of Information Act. Over those 5 years, basic reconnaissance course attendance saw a rate of 526 Marines in 2013 and a low of 280 Marines, approximately half that, in 2016. Many former and current recon Marines have long complained about their equipment, morale, and an overall feeling that their skill sets have been underutilized, especially over the course of America's counterinsurgency wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, the question is, where does our reconnaissance community fit in when special operations fill more and more of those missions? So anyway, interesting discussion, interesting article. It's in Marine Corps Times this morning. Top 5 stories in Early Bird, and then 1, America's war with Afghanistan enters its 18th year. So much discussion about the war. Our ability to sustain it is largely based on our lack of casualties. All right, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. The trend lines in Afghanistan are not trending right. But again, I think I would say you're in the first year, really, of Secretary Mattis's strategy that worked in Iraq and Syria. I would give him a chance. Second story is a story about the Marine Corps' recon shortage. Always glamorous, right? Reconnaissance units. He's a recon Marine. Everybody loves to talk about that kind of stuff. Three, the Army missed its end strength goal this year. Can it make it back up? A year ago, the Army set an ambitious benchmark of recruiting 80,000 new soldiers in FY 2018. The number dropped to 76,500 in April, but it was the highest goal set in a decade at a time when combat operations in the Middle East have ramped down, along with eligibility and interest from young people to serve in the first place. They fell short. Number four, Google drops out of Pentagon's $10 billion cloud competition. Now, this is interesting, and I'm kind of curious to read the article from Bloomberg. The headline, Google drops out of Pentagon's $10 billion cloud competition. Company says the cloud deal may clash with its values on artificial intelligence. Google also criticized. Stand by.
Spoke to everybody that you have to speak to, and I think that hopefully we'll get lucky, but maybe that won't happen. But we're prepared. I wanted to do this because Nikki Haley, Ambassador to the United Nations, has been very special to me. She's done an incredible job. She's a fantastic person, very importantly, but she also is somebody that gets it. She has been at the United Nations from the beginning with us, and worked with us on the campaign. It's been really a long time, very intense, and she told me probably 6 months ago, she said, you know, maybe at the end of the year, at the end of a two-year period, but the end of the year, I want to take a little time off. I want to take a little break. She's been a very successful, you know, governor of South Carolina for 8 years. And then she did this, and this is possibly even more intense with what's going on in the world and very dangerous and a lot of things. But she's done a fantastic job, and we've done a fantastic job together. We've solved a lot of problems, and we're in the process of solving a lot of problems. At the beginning, North Korea was a massive problem, and now we're moving along. It's moving along really nicely. I can speak for Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He thinks the world of Nikki, and so we're all happy for you in one way, but we hate to lose. Hopefully you'll be coming back at some point, but you want to just maybe a different capacity. You can have your pick. But I just want to let you know, so at the end of the year, Nikki will be leaving, and we'll be in constant touch. I know that. Whenever you have any ideas, you can call me, because you know all the players. And that was really the thing I think she did best at the United Nations. She got to know the players. She got to know China, Russia, India. She knows everybody on a very first-name basis, and they like her. Except for maybe a couple, which is normal. They can't all like you, but they do. They really like her, and I think maybe more importantly, they respect her. So, Nikki, I just wanted to tell you that we will miss you. We'll be speaking all the time, but we will miss you nevertheless, and you have done a fantastic job, and I want to thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, I want to say, first of all, I want to thank the President for just, you know, allowing us to come out and talk to you this way. It has been an honor of a lifetime. I said I am such a lucky girl to have been able to lead the state that raised me and to serve a country I love so very much. It has really been a blessing, and I want to thank you for that. But I'm most excited. Look at the 2 years. Look at what has happened in 2 years with the United States on foreign policy. Now the United States is respected. Countries may not like what we do, but they respect what we do. They know that if we say we're going to do something, we follow it through. And the President proved that, whether it was with the chemical weapons in Syria, whether it's with NATO saying that other countries have to pay their share. I mean, whether it's the trade deals, which have been amazing, they get that the President means business and they follow through with that. But then if you look at just these 2 years at the UN, we've cut $1.3 billion in the UN's budget. We've made it stronger. We've made it more efficient. South Sudan, we got an arms embargo, which was a long time coming. 3 North Korean sanctions packages, which were the largest in a generation, done in a way that we could really work towards denuclearizing North Korea. The Iran deal, bringing attention to the world that every country needs to understand. You can't overlook all of the bad things they're doing. You have to see them for the threat that they are. I think you look at the anti-Israel bias and the strength and courage that the president showed in moving the embassy and showing the rest of the world, we will put our embassy where we want to put our embassy. You know, all of those things have made a huge difference in the U.S. standing, but I can tell you that the U.S. is strong again, and the U.S. is strong in a way that should make all Americans very proud. And I do want to say that it's not just the president I want to thank. The family in general, the First Lady has been nothing but very, very kind to me. I can't say enough good things about Jared and Ivanka. Jared is such a hidden genius that no one understands. I mean, to redo the NAFTA deal the way he did, what I've done working with him on the Middle East peace plan, it is so unbelievably well done. And Ivanka's been just a great friend, and they do a lot of things behind the scenes that I wish more people knew about, because we're a better country because they're in this administration. I also just have to say certainly thank you to my family. Michael is a saint, and my 2 little ones, I adore them. And to Team USUN. You know, they sacrificed a lot. They put a lot of time and energy into it, but they have a lot of heart and really wanted to make America proud. And so with that, I'm not leaving until the end of the year. My goal is that we make sure that everything is in good place and for the next ambassador to come in. But it's a great day in the United States, and I'm proud to have been part of the team. Now, I don't have anything set on where I'm going to go. I think that the main thing was I was governor for 6 years, and we dealt with a hurricane, a 1,000-year flood, a church shooting, a school shooting. There was a lot. And then to come in and do 2 years of Russia and Iran and North Korea, it's been 8 years of intense time, and I'm a believer in term limits. I think you have to be selfless enough to know when you step aside and allow someone else to do the job. So thank you, Mr. President.
You,
it's been an honor of a lifetime. And I will say this, for all of you that are going to ask about 2020, no, I'm not running for 2020. I can promise you what I'll be doing is campaigning for this one. So I look forward to supporting the president in the next election.
That's so good. Thank you, Nikki.
Ambassador Haley, you listed off a long...
That is Nikki Haley. We'll take a quick break. I think she answered the question. There's nothing wrong with her health. That's fine. She's not interested in running for the office of president, and which many have said that she would be well suited for because of her experience in South Carolina and her performance at the United Nations. So Nikki Haley evidently resigns because she's over the course of the last 8 years, she's done a lot. So we will see. All right, we'll take a quick break. Grant Newsham going to join us next on a Tuesday edition of Ball Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.